Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's daf Ches. We're on Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots right in the middle of Zayin Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learning with Zeichen Ishmael Chalos Lupin Zaltzman. And back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah told us that there are four Rosh Hashanahs over the course of the year. Now, as I pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, it's not totally accurate that the number really is four. Could be that the number is five. In other words, there are a number of things which are up for discussion and debate. And if we try to look at the Mishnah intensively, we're going to see that the number four seems to be somewhat of an inaccuracy. And the first part of today's daf, we're starting right now, is we're going to try to clean up the Mishnah and see how exactly the Mishnah arrives at the number four. How are there four Rosh Hashanahs? Okay, our discussion has been for the last seven blot, meaning the first week of the Masechta. Really, we've only dedicated ourselves to two topics. We talked about the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah of Nisan has two applications. Number one, it has an application for Shtaros, and that we count the Jewish kings by the month of Nisan, once Rosh Chodesh Nisan rolls around. So that's the next year of that king's reign. The king turns a year in his reign on the first day of Nisan. And the second application of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Baal Te'achir, that if you make a neder and you pledge it, you're going to bring a karban. So the first day of Nisan represents the beginning of that Baal Te'achir. Now, when we say the first day of Nisan, so let's make a correction. It's not really the first day of Nisan. It's really the 15th day of Nisan. Because as the Gemara explained to us, Baal Te'achir doesn't apply until you hit the first Yontif. The first Yontif of the year is Pesach. So therefore, really, when the Mishnah refers to Rosh Hashanah for Regalim, it's not talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's actually talking about the 15th day of Nisan. Hold that point in your pocket. We're going to come back to that point later on. So the truth of the matter is that we've kind of been going with the thinking that the Malachim and the Regalim are occurring on the same day. That's not accurate. The Malachim are occurring on the first day of Nisan, and the Regalim is renewing on the 15th day of Nisan. So stay tuned, because we're going to come back to that later on. In the meantime, however, we're starting out with the Gemara, and the Gemara is bothered. And here's the issue. The Mishnah tells us that when we get to the first day of Elul, so that's Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. Vis-a-vis Maisa Behema, as we learned, all the animals that are born over the course of the year, you need to put them in a pen, you need to count them up to the number. In each tenth animal that's counted is marked and earmarked for a karban. So Maisa Behema. So we call it colloquially Maiser, but Maiser vis-a-vis animals. So that opinion, that Elul, serves as the mark between the bookmark, between last year's animals and this year's animals. Like we explained back in the Mishnah, I cannot take this year's animals, any animal that's born after Rosh Chodesh Elul, and put them in the same pen with animals that were born prior to Elul. Meaning any animal born in Av versus any animal born in Elul are kept in separate pens. Okay, so the fact that Rosh Chodesh Elul is the mark where we're going to separate. So the Gemara says that's Reb Meir's opinion. And how do I know that? The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, it's the Braisa, Rabbi Meir Omer Becha Be'elo Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema. That when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day of Elul, so that is Rosh Hashanah vis-a-vis Maisa Behema. Good. Now let's move on to the next point. Regalim Mani. Now in terms of our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says Regal, so who is that subscribing to? So we know who that's subscribing to. We already made this point earlier. The Gemara reminds us, Rabbi Shimon he. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to Baal Te'achir, you have to see three yontivs in a row. What does that mean in a row? Starting with Pesach, and then continuing for Shavuos and then Sukkos. Good. So now we have in our Mishnah, just looking at the Tanaim, we first have Rabbi Meir, then we have Rabbi Shimon, and then what happens at the end of the Mishnah? Actually, let's just flip it. And the Gemara doesn't present it this way. But really, first it's Regalim, which is Rabbi Shimon. Then it's Meister Behema, which is Rabbi Meir. And then what happens at the end of the Mishnah? Ema Sefer, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amen, Be'echa B'tishrei. That when it comes to Meister Behema, so Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say that it's the first day of Tishrei. Meaning they have Meister Behema, the bookmark of Meister Behema, not being placed on the first day of Elul, but 1 month later on the first day of Tishrei. So now the Mishnah is confusing. Reish of a Sefer, Rabbi Shimon, Umitziyas, Rabbi Meir. So when it comes to Regal, we follow the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Then it comes to Maisa Behema, we're at Rabbi Meir. Then we have the dissenting viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. So what do we have now? Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon. That's not usually how a Tana works. The way the Tana works is that it chooses one Tanaitic viewpoint and follows that one Tanaitic viewpoint. And usually the Mishnah is not just bouncing from one Tana to another Tana. So the Gemara says, right, so Amar Rav Yosef, Rebbe Hi. So Rav Yosef says, you know who the author of our Mishnah is? The author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Now, we knew that already, meaning the author of every Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is not an author of a Mishnah, he's really an editor of the Mishnah. But in other words, in this particular Mishnah, not only is the editor of the Mishnah, he happens to be the authorship of the Mishnah. Meaning the opinions expressed in the Mishnah are actually Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's opinion. V'nasiv le'eli b'tatanai, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who does he hold like? Well, he has his own opinion, meaning so, depending on what issue we're talking about, that's what he holds like. When it comes to Regal, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi falls like Rebbe Shimon. When it comes to Maisa Behema, he holds like Rebbe Meir. So fine. So in other words, so our Mishnah is authored by, meaning every Mishnah is edited by, but our Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Good. That's good, but it creates a problem. And what's the problem now? Ihachi arba'a chamisha havu. The problem now in our Mishnah is, our Mishnah is not four Rosh Hashanahs, our Mishnah comes out to five Rosh Hashanahs. And let's count. Right? We don't have to be that smart. Rashi over here spells it out for us. There are now five Rosh Hashanahs in the Mishnah. How do we get to the number five? Look at Rashi Ihachi. Rashi writes, Ihachi dechad gavra, Amr Lamasnisen, that our Mishnah is really authored by one person's opinion, meaning Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Menasi milse chadekecha tana chamishe Rosh Hashanah ninhu. So now there comes out to be five Rosh Hashanahs according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And they are, number one, Echad b'Nisan, the first day of Nisan. And that's Regal. I'm sorry, no, that's not Regal. That's Malachim. Number two, Tezvav b'Nisan, 15th day of Nisan. That's Regal. Number three, Echad b'Elul. Echad be'elot, it's Rosh Hashanah l'maaser behema. Number four, Echad be'tishrei, which we haven't even identified what that is yet, although I have a feeling that everyone here knows. But first day of Tishrei. And number five, Tezvav b'shvat, tu b'shvat. So now it comes out there are five Rosh Hashanahs in the Mishnah. If our Mishnah is not articulating earlier tonight, but if the Mishnah is articulating the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, so now there are a total of five Rosh Hashanahs. So the opening of the Mishnah should not be Arba'a Rosh Hashanah, the opening of the Mishnah should be Chamisha. That's obviously a serious problem. I mean, the Mishnah's broadcast, the Mishnah's headline is inaccurate, seemingly. So what we're going to be doing for the first part of today's daf is we're going to try to give answers to how the Mishnah is consolidated to four, and the Mishnah is not at five Rosh Hashanahs where it should be. So we have a number of answers. We start with answer number one. Amar Rava, Arba L'Divrei HaKol. So Rava says answer number one. If we were to pinpoint, if we were to focus in on each Tana, meaning not Rav Yehuda HaNasi, you're right. According to Rav Yehuda HaNasi, there are five. But if I were to go back to the earlier generations of the Tanaim, and we're not going back that much earlier, but if I went back earlier to the generations of the Tanaim, and I looked at the principal Tanaim of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer, so I would see that each one of them respectively has only four Rosh Hashanahs. It comes out that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the late Tana, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, because he chooses of various Tanaim, he comes out to five. But if we look at the earlier Tanaim, no Tana's position is more than four. And the Gemara says, look, so this is Rava's answer. Arba l'divrei HaKol. L'Rebbe Meir arba dal regalim. According to Rav Meir, there only are going to be four. Because take out Regal. Do you remember? What was Rav Meir's position regarding Baal Te'acher? Rav Meir's position regarding Baal Te'acher is only one Yontif. So there's no Rosh Hashanah l'regalim. Once you hit a Yontif, you violate Baal Te'acher. So in other words, so take Regal out of the discussion. And so now, according to Rav Meir, how many Rosh Hashanahs do you have? You only have four. The Rabbi Shimon, Arba, Dal, Maaser Behema. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, you also only have four. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, he does hold the Regalim. So that's a Rosh Hashanah. That's the 15th day of Nisan. But for him, you get to take out the first day of Elul. The first day of Elul is not a Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Shimon. Good. So in other words, so answer number one of the Gemara is, the headline of the Mishnah that there are four Rosh Hashanahs is not speaking according to Rav Yehuda HaNasi, according to him it's five. But if you look at the earlier Tanaim, you could take Rav Meir's viewpoint, you could take Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, everyone's going to come out to four.
Rabbi Shimon, if it's taking the Behemot, when does he put it?
Because his Maaser Behema Rosh Hashanah is first day of Tishrei.
Which is the same as
when the world is judged. Okay. So you got four according to the earlier tonight. Answer number one. We have to answer number two. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Arba'a Chadashim Uvehem kama Rosh Hashanim. So good. So another answer, fine answer, is that there are 4 months. Meaning, you're right. In each month, there may be multiple Rosh Hashanahs. Nisan being the example. Nisan, there are two Rosh Hashanahs. But when the Mishnah's headline, it broadcasts that there are four, it means there are 4 months of the year in which you're going to have Rosh Hashanah, and in some, multiple Rosh Hashanahs. Makes the Gemara is bothered because there seems to be a glaring omission in the Mishnah. Now, we spent yesterday's daf talking about glaring omissions. Yesterday's daf was dedicated to the topic of things that our Mishnah did not leave, the things that our Mishnah left out. Now, basically, we discussed this yesterday. Why did the Mishnah leave out? I'll give you examples. This was yesterday's daf. The Rosh Hashanah l'Chadashim, that Nisan is the first month of the year. Iber, adding an additional month. Shuma Shkalim, the beginning of the fiscal year, the Beit HaMikdash. Schiras Batim, rentals, all that was omitted from the Mishnah. And the Gemara yesterday discussed why they're omitted from the Mishnah. But the Gemara now notes there are other things which are also left out of the Mishnah, and here now becomes the problem. We're going to discuss two more Rosh Hashanahs, and now, if that's true, so the number four seems to be totally inaccurate. Meis for the Gemara challenges Shisha Asar ben Nisan. Let's talk about the 16th day of Nisan. 16th day of Nisan is what? Also Rosh Hashanah. Meaning now it's the beginning of the year for all grains. All grains that grew or at least took root over the previous year now will become permitted on the 16th day of Nisan. Now,
what's the point of counting every Chag as a Rosh Hashanah?
No, it's not. We're not counting the Chag as a Rosh Hashanah. No, that's not what we're doing. We're counting the 16th day of Nisan.
But it's a mitzvah of Omer. So why is that a
year? In other words, no, but it's the beginning of the year vis-a-vis grain. Meaning any, it's a cutoff in the year. It's a point in the year where now we're going to look at all grains that grew or, that took root or was harvested prior to that point in time. That's mutter.
Oh,
okay. So it's a mark. It's a bookmark in the year, and it's per annum. So now the 16th day of Nisan, that's also Rosh Hashanah. All grains that grew or at least took root in the previous year is now permitted. Okay, now, by the way, what is matir? What actually permits it? So when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was an actual carbon that we brought on the 16th day of Nisan. Now, without a Beis HaMikdash, so it is just simply the day of the 16th day of Nisan. Okay, that's number one. And number two, Shisha B'Sivan, the 6th day of Sivan. Now, even though the 6th day of Sivan is Shavuos, but that's not what the Gemara is marking. We're not marking the Yontif of Shavuos. What we're marking is the following. Did you know that on the 6th day of Sivan, we bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash? Now, the carbon is, of course, connected to Shavuos. The Torah tells us to bring the carbon on Shavuos. It's called the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves. And this carbon that we bring also creates a bookmark in the year. Why? Because even though on the 16th day of Nisan, all grains that grew over the course of the year are permitted, that's for you and me. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, they cannot enjoy the new grains until the Shtei HaLechem is brought on Shavuos. The Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos is the matir. It permits all grains that grew in the previous year to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Oddly, there's a 50-day period where the general population can eat the grains, but for the Beis HaMikdash, they still have to be using last year's grains. They cannot use the previous year grains. They can't use last year's grains until the 6th day of Sivan, until the Shtei HaLechem is brought on Shavuos. So that also marks a first. Now, L'Rava L'Sne Shisha. And now the Gemara just simply wraps up the question. According to Rava, now how many Rosh Hashanah should there be? Four mentioned in the Mishnah, and another two that we just described. So there should be a total of six. The headline of our Mishnah should be six Rosh Hashanahs a year. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, L'Sne Chamisha. Now, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, there should be five. Why the number five? Because remember, what was his approach? His approach was the number of months that have a Rosh Hashanah in it. So now, according to his approach, it's almost great, it's almost perfect, but not exactly. Meaning, in the month of Nisan, now we're looking at three Rosh Hashanahs in the month of Nisan. The first of Nisan, for Malachim, the 15th of Nisan, for Baal Te'achir, and the 16th of Nisan, for all the grains that grew. Okay, good. But we also have now the 6th day of Sivan, which is also a month that has a Rosh Hashanah in it. So the Gemara now is bothered. So how is all this going to work out? Amar Rav Papa. So the Gemara says we're going to have to come up with a new answer. Not a totally new answer, But one that's going to have to deal with the fact that our mission does not reference the 16th day of Nisan, nor the 6th day of Sivan. Amar Papa ki kachashiv midi dechal meorta. Midi de lo chayal meorta lo kachashiv. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah is only dealing with things that occur at the night of, meaning the night of the first day of Tishrei. Right? When we go into Mariv for Rosh Hashanah. So that's when all the, that marks now the beginning of the year. When we go into the night of the first day of Nisan, so that marks now the next year of the king's coronation. When we're talking about the Omer, the 16th day of Nisan, or the Shtei HaLechem, the 6th day of Sivan, those aren't on the night of, that's only the next morning, when the Karbanos are actually brought. Now, by the way, when it comes to the 16th day of Nisan, so when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Omer, the actual bringing of the Karban Omer is the Matir. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the day of, but when we say the day of, we mean specifically the morning of is going to be the Matir. So the Gemara says that's why these two did not make it into our Mishnah. Because it's not the turning of the day, but actually an event that occurs in the morning. So the Gemara says, what about Regalim? What about Baal Te'acher? Baal Te'acher, the prohibition shouldn't take place the night of, the prohibition should take place morning of. Why? Rashi explains. Because when are you in violation of Baal Te'acher? When Yontav comes in, you didn't bring a carbon. The night of Yontav, you have no opportunity to bring a carbon, as we've said time and again. Carbonos are not brought at night. Carbonos are only brought during the daytime. So when you hit the night of Yontav, you didn't violate Baal Te'acher simply because you couldn't have brought a carbon at that point in time. The only time you could bring a carbon is the next morning. And Rashi goes on to further point out, not even the next morning. You have to wait till the Tamishel Shachar. And only after the Tamishel Shachar is one allowed to bring a carbon. So here, if your rule of thumb is anything that starts the night of, that's in our Mishnah. Anything starts the morning of is not mentioned in our Mishnah. But for Baal Te'acher, that doesn't seem to be true. The Gemara responds. The Gemara says, no, you really are not looking at Baal Te'acher the right way. Gemara says, let's help us look at Baal Te'acher the right way. Baal Te'acher, Yontav is not the driving force behind Baal Te'acher. What's the driving force behind Baal Te'acher? You made a neder. You made a neder prior to Yontav. So your obligation to bring the carbon that you declared you're going to bring, that occurs immediately. Yontav is just simply a deadline. So you're right. Technically, you can't bring the carbon until the morning of. But once you've hit Yontav, you've now arrived at your deadline. Meaning at that point in time, it's like, okay, now, that's it. Meaning you should have brought it by this point in time. You didn't. You're right. Technically, I can't bring the carbon night of, but so what? The point of the Mishnah is that once Yontav comes around, meaning even the night of Yontav, you've now reached your deadline. That's why Regalim make it into our Mishnah. That's why Baal Te'acher makes it into our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, what about Yovel? Now Yovel, when does Yovel kick in? As we know, we're going to be discussing this over the course of the next couple of days of the Daf. Yovel, the 50th year, what happens in the 50th year? So everything goes back to its original owner. So houses go back to its original owner. Slaves, Eved Ivri that decided to serve in indentured servitude until the foreseeable future. Well, here comes the foreseeable future, right? Yovel, he goes free as well. So a lot of things happen in Yovel. And when does it occur in Yovel? It occurs on Yovel in the beginning of the year. But more accurately, when? So the Gemara says it occurs on Yom Kippur. We'll see the Pesukim later on. It occurs in Yom Kippur, and more specifically, the day of Yom Kippur. Not the night, not going into Yom Kippur, but the actual daytime of Yom Kippur. And meanwhile, Yontav is in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, leave Yovel out of the discussion. Why? Rav Shmuel ben Osher, Rav Yochanan ben Brokehi, Damar Rosh Hashanah Chayo Yovel. Our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yishmael, son of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. He's of the opinion that all the laws of Yovel kick in on Rosh Hashanah. Now, there's Pesukim, and we're going to deal with the Pesukim later this morning, perhaps tomorrow. But in other words, but according to Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Yovel starts on Rosh Hashanah, specifically night of Rosh Hashanah. Yovel fits in our Mishnah. Okay, Adkan. Well, not yet. We're not really at a pause point, but again, all of the discussion that we had since the beginning of today's daf was trying to deal with the headline of our Mishnah. The headline of our Mishnah says that there are four Rosh Hashanahs. There are not four Rosh Hashanahs. There are actually more than four Rosh Hashanahs. At least five, and perhaps even six Rosh Hashanahs. How do you deal with that? So now where the Gemara stands is on a point made by Rav Papa, that our Mishnah is only counting things that occur at the night of the first day of Nisan, the night of the 15th day of Nisan, the night of the first day of Tishrei. Meaning those are the things that our Mishnah are recording. Anything which kicks in only in the daytime is not mentioned in the Mishnah. That's why the Omer is not in the Mishnah. That's why the 6th of Sivan is not in the Mishnah. Okay. That's where the Gemara is standing right now. And if this approach is a good approach, so then we have a better understanding of why our Mishnah is limited only to four. Okay. Next. Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi, we're still in Zion Amud Beis, we're four lines from the bottom. Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi Amar Ki Kachashev Midi Delo Talav Maisa. Midi De Talav Maisa Lo Kachashev. So the Gemara says, look, our Mishnah is only dealing with things that happen automatically. Things that we need to do something in order for the Rosh Hashanah to kick in is not recorded in our Mishnah. The Karban Omer, we need to bring the Karban Omer. The 6th of Sivan, we need to bring the Shtei Alechem. Okay, so the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, what about Baal Te'acher? Isn't that contingent on a Maisa? Rashi says, what Maisa is the Gemara here referencing? Rashi says it's talking about bringing the Karman Tamid Shel Shachar, because you won't be in violation of Baal Te'acher until the Karman Tamid Shel Shachar is brought. So isn't it contingent on an action? So the Gemara says, no. Baal Te'acher Mimei L'Chayil. No, that's not accurate. Baal Te'acher comes automatically. Yes, it's true that, again, it's the same point that Gemara made earlier. Yes, it's true that you can't bring a carpet until the morning of, but still, what Yontiv represents is a deadline. Once you've hit Yontiv, you are now crossing the deadline. Vehare, we're now on the top of Ches Amud Aleph. Vehare Yovlos. The Gemara says, what about Yovel? Isn't Yovel contingent on an action? Again, the Gemara is now thinking that Yovel is the 10th day of Tishrei. And when does Yovel kick in? When we blow the shofar on the 10th day of Tishrei. So isn't Yovel contingent on an action? And again, the Gemara's response is the same response. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka, that our Mishnah, the authorship of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka, who is of the opinion that Yovel begins not on the 10th day of Tishrei, but rather on the first day of Tishrei. And as such, it's not contingent on an action, just simply the introduction of the first day of Tishrei, now everything goes free. Okay. And again, as I said earlier, later this morning, we're going to go over the Pesukim, where the Pesukim are going to actually indicate that it's really the 10th day of Tishrei, and what does Rav Yishmael do with the Pesukim? We'll talk about that later this morning. Okay, we're almost done with this section of Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar Abar Rashi Hashanim Heim, Shehein Ba'abar Rashi Chadashim. So, the Gemara gives one more approach. We are still responding to the question of why the headline of four in our Mishnah when it's not four. It's five, and perhaps it's even six. So right now the Gemara has gone over basically one basic approach, which is that within each Tana it's four, or within there are 4 months which have a Rosh Hashanah. Why not, however, record the Omer and the Shtei Alechem as being firsts? So the Gemara gave either one of two responses. Either because those are events that occur in the morning, not the night of, or because those are contingent on an action, and our Mishnah is only going on things that happen automatically, without an action. Good. That all belongs to one approach of the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to offer a totally different approach. Rav Ashi says, how do you understand the heading of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says four? Rav Ashi Amar Arba Rashi Hashanim Heim, Shehein Bi Arba Rashi Chadashim. You know what the number four represents? Four Rosh Hashanahs that occur in the first of the month. Good. Four Rosh Hashanahs that occur in the first of the month. Meaning, there are more than... Right, we'll get to that. Okay? There are more than four Rosh Hashanahs. There are five. There could be even six Rosh Hashanahs.
Seven.
Fine.
Why not seven? Because you have 15 of Nisan and 16 of Nisan.
Good. So, let's even go to seven. Meaning, you could be right. Rav Ashi's answer is that when all said and done, how many Rosh Hashanahs are concurrent with the first day of the month? They're only going to be a total of four. So the Gemara says, Hedy, your next question, Be'echa b'shvake b'shamai? So wait a second, that's now strange. Brilliant answer, but then that answer works only if we subscribe to the viewpoint of Beit Shammai. We don't subscribe to the viewpoint of Beit Shammai. Beis Shammai is a position, but one which ultimately is no longer accepted. So it's a great way to look at the Mishnah, but then that has to take into account Rabbi Shammai's position. Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, good point. Here's how we're going to understand the Mishnah. Shosha l'divrei HaKol, be'echad b'shvat, machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So it's three according to everybody, and if you take Beis Shammai's position into account, so then there would be four. Now, seems like a bit of a forced pshat. I'll tell you what. Look back at the Mishnah. If you look back at the Mishnah, and now you read the Mishnah even more critically than we read the first time, so you're going to see now that this answer actually spells itself out in the Mishnah. I go all the way back to the beginning of the Masechet. I start the Mishnah again. Arba Rosh Hashanim Hem. The Mishnah starts off that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and then the Mishnah starts to enumerate. Now again, let's put on Rav Ashi's lenses. Rav Ashi says, what are we looking for? We're only looking for, in terms of satisfying the number four, we're only looking for those Rosh Hashanahs that happen on the first of the month. So, Arba Rosh Hashanah Mem. Be'echad B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. Okay, good. So that's one. Be'echad Be'elo, I know I'm skipping. Be'echad Be'elo Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. Okay, that's two. Be'echad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim L'Shemitim L'Yobos L'Natiya L'Yirakos. Okay? Be'echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan. Look at the next words of the Mishnah. Kid divrei beis shamai, right? Isn't that strange language in the Mishnah? Kid divrei beis shamai, like the opinion of beis shamai. When does the Mishnah ever give us an opinion of beis shamai? It says like the opinion of beis shamai. What does that mean? Usually the Mishnah says beis shamai or divrei beis shamai. What does that mean? Kid divrei beis shamai. Now with the Rav Ashi, and you put on the Rav Ashi lenses, it's perfect. The language of the Mishnah literally is perfect, meaning that we're looking for four. When are you going to find four? Kid divrei beis shamai. When you're following the opinion of beis shamai, you get to four. And then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, and it's not such an oh, by the way, but in the context of this discussion, and oh, by the way, beis hillel omrim bechamishah sabo. Beis hillel says it's 15. But the truth of the matter is that the language of the Mishnah of kid divrei beis shamai works out like a lot better now, according to Rav Ashi. Okay? That was our accounting for the day. So our Mishnah says four. There really is more than four. How do you deal with the fact that there could be five, six? Hedy wants to suggest maybe even seven, which is a fair point. So we have now multiple approaches. The basic first approach is that we're only counting things that are registered either the night of, or things that are automatic and not contingent on action. Or a totally different answer, that of Rav Ashi, in that we're looking for Rosh Hashanahs that occur on the first of the month, which there are four, taking into consideration the opinion of Beis Shammai. Okay, next. We're up to Maaseh Behema. Okay, took us a while. Seven blot of Gemara, but now as we're on Daf Ches, we're at the two dots, four lines, five lines from the top of the Amud. So now we're at the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah told us that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah for Maaseh Behema, again, where do I put the bookmark? Where do the animals of last year go into one pen, and the animal this year go into a different pen? So, where do we put the bookmark for Maaseh Behema? So that's the machlokus in our Mishnah. The opinion of Rabbi Meir is that the Rosh Hashanah for Maaseh Behema occurs on the first day of Elul. According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Rosh Hashanah for Maaseh Behema occurs on the first day of Tishrei. What is their argument predicated on? That's going to be the next part of the Gemara's discussion. I don't know. I understand. Rabbi Shimon's usually referenced Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And then it's usually, I don't know. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amram Be'echa B'Tishrei. Amar Rav Yochanan. There are going to be in the Gemara basically two approaches in terms of how to understand this debate. One of them is going to be an agricultural explanation. Somewhat agricultural. Actually, we're talking about animals, so agriculture is not the right word. Whatever, natural explanation, based on Sukkim, of course. Remember, we're learning Gemara. And the second explanation is going to be much more, you know, classical drash oriented. So in the explanation number one, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. The two are debating a pasuk in Tehillim Shenemar. The pasuk Tehillim says Lashu Karim Atzon. The sheep are wearing pillows. They're stuffed, meaning they're impregnated. V'amakim yatfu bar. The valleys are filled with the growing of the grains. Yisro'u af yashiru, and the fields are singing. Okay, now obviously David HaMelech is speaking in poetry. It's Tehillim. It's poetic. And let's see if I can try to paint the picture of what we're describing over here. We're in the springtime. The Navi, David HaMelech in Tehillim is describing definitely springtime. He's talking about how the growth is coming out of the ground. That's the Amakim Yatfubar. Yisroaf Yashiru. Right, the valleys are singing. Rashi gives an explanation. What does that mean? The valleys are singing, meaning because as the grain now is growing and getting taller, so the wind is blowing, the grain is knocking one into another. You're hearing the rustling of the field. So that's the pasuk in Navi. And what's occurring at this time in spring? So at this time in spring, lo shukarim atzom, the animals are getting impregnated. Okay, one biological fact that we need to know, and that is that when it comes to small animals, sheep and goat, so they go through a gestation period of 5 months. Okay, larger animals like bakar, so they go through a gestation period of 9 months. But for reasons that I'm not totally clear about, we're only focusing on the small animals and on the 5 month gestation period. Okay, and it's a little bit odd, to be honest, because Maaser Behemah applies to large animals as well, not just to small animals. Why we're only focusing on the small animals, I'm not clear about. But be that as it may. Rabbi Meir Savraim Asai Lashu Kari Matzon. So now, in this Pasuk in Tehillim, what we're describing is the animals getting pregnant at a point in time. In other words, Lashu Kari Matzon. The animals are getting stuffed, meaning they're getting pregnant. So when are they getting impregnated? So b'zman she'amakim yatfubar. When the growth in the field is beginning. Ve'emasai amakim yatfubar ba'adar. So that's in the beginning of the spring, the month of Adar. Mit abro ba'adar v'yolda ba'av. And so now, if getting pregnant in the month of Adar, so go 5 months later, so they're giving birth in the month of Av, at the end of the summer. And that means now that all these animals are giving birth at the end of the summer, so now by the time you get to Rosh Chodesh Elul, what have you? You have your flock. Good. Put a bookmark over there. That now ends the season, and now let's count. Anything born after that is for next year. That is an explanation of the opinion of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. Rosh Hashanah Shalem Elul. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Mitzvah, Lav Shu Kar Matzon. Now Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no. When do the animals get pregnant? So, Bizman Shi throw off Yashiru. That's when the fields are rustling. Now the fields are rustling, not the beginning of the growth. The grain is growing. The stalks are getting a little bit taller. They're banging into one another. When is that occurring? Not in the month of Adar, but rather Imasai Shibam Omer Shira bin Nisan. So Shira is sung in the month of Nisan. I understand that if we went deeper into the Gemara, we can understand the depths of the Gemara about how Shira is sung in the month of Nisan, right? Az Yashir, Pesach. Okay, but in the meantime, however, just for our purposes, Shira is sung in the month of Nisan. So Mis Abros Benisan. So that means that these animals are getting impregnated in the month of Nisan. V'yoldos be'elul. And therefore giving birth in the month of Elul. So now, when are we going to put a bookmark in terms of when the year is over, vis-a-vis the growth, the flock? The flock now is born in the month of Elul. So put a bookmark on the first day of Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah Shalem, just give me a moment, Rosh Hashanah Shalem, Tishrei. So the Rosh Hashanah for them will be Tishrei. So basically, again, it's an agricultural explanation, but based on a pasuk. The pasuk in Tehillim is giving us a general sense of when the animals get pregnant, therefore when the animals are going to give birth. According to Rav Meir, that's going to be Adar and Av. Therefore, the bookmark goes in Elul. According to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be Nisan and Elul. Therefore, the bookmark goes in Tishrei.
Why do we care in terms of connecting the when they give birth to the year turnaround? So let it be 6 months later. What's happening like right when they give birth?
Okay, the Gemara later will kind of touch on that, but basically we want Maaser Behemah to be done at the first opportunity. That's the basic idea behind the Gemara.
They had their observation already.
Yeah, correct. In other words, this is one of those strange points in the Gemara where it's really an observational point,
right,
and it's an empirical point, and the Gemara is going to the Psukim to try to indicate to us what we what we could observe on our own. Okay, understood. I don't know if I have anything smart to contribute to this point, but I hear you. It is more of an observational point, and the Gemara is looking for the pasuk to tell us what the reality is. Okay, the idach nami huksiv yisro af yashir. Now here the Gemara goes into its classic mode of what does each tana do with the other part of the pasuk. So the idach nami huksiv yisro af yashiru, the rustling of the field which occurs in Nisan. What do you do with that? Hahu baflata dehavim in Nisan. Okay, some animals get pregnant in Nisan. The late animals. Second day in a row that we see the word afela. Right. Yesterday I quoted the pasuk in Va'era, the end of Parshas Va'era, that the word afela refers to the late bloomers. So here, there are some sheep that get pregnant in Nisan and do deliver in the month of Elul. Okay, those are the latecomers. Fine. Now, what about the fact that the pasuk says amakim yatfubar, which indicates that the animals get pregnant in the early spring, meaning in the month of Adar, when growth just begins in the field? Okay, there is early growth that occurs in the month of Adar, but that's early. Again, that's not the average. The average growth occurs in the month of Nisan. According to Rav Meir, the pasuk reads much smoother. Because according to Rav Meir, let's see. Lashu karimatzom, when do the animals get pregnant? Bizman shamakim yatfubar. When there's beginning growth in the field. Meaning Adar. Most animals get impregnated in the month of Adar, springtime. The ikanam yisro af yashiru. And, just reading on in the pasuk, there are some animals that get pregnant later in the month of Nisan. Fine. But good. But the pasuk reads really well according to Rav Meir. Ela Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Ebchami Ba'elei. But according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, if we were to construct this very same pasuk, we should turn around the pasuk. Lavshu karim atzon. When do animals get pregnant? Bizman sheyisro af yashiru. Essentially, they get pregnant in the month of Nisan, when the fields are rustling. And ikanami damakim yatfubar. And oh, by the way, some animals do get pregnant in the early spring in the month of Adar. That's how the pasuk should read according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Rabbi Shimon. And so it doesn't read as smoothly for them. Okay, so that is all approach number one of the Gemara. So again, a machlokus in terms of when do we bookmark our Meiser Behema, first day of Elul, first day of Tishrei, machlokus tanaim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. First approach of the Gemara, of Rabbi Yochanan's approach, question of when they become pregnant and when they deliver, and so that we could bookmark the end of Meiser Behema basically immediately after the flock is born. Okay? And the Psukim in Tehillim, or I should say rather the Pasuk in Tehillim, is going to help us see exactly when they become pregnant and when they deliver. Ela Amarava. The Gemara goes over another approach, a second approach, and this is going to be more what we say classical drush. Darsha note, if you will. The kulei am lashu karim atzom bezman shamakim yatfubar ba'adar. Truth of the matter is, let's say it, and maybe Hedy, this response to your question, meaning empirically, observationally, we see that the animals get pregnant in the month of Adar, and they're delivering their flock in the month of Av. Okay. V'hacha b'haikra kemiflegi. The Gemara says, but maybe over here, what the issue is pasuk and drasha, aser to aser, parshas re'eh. You see it at the end of every yantiv, at least here in Chutz La'aretz. Aser to aser, b'shnei masor sakasa medaber. The Torah here is referencing two meisers, echen meiser behema, echen meiser dagan. Now we know there's meiser of the field, we also know there's meiser of the animals. And Rabbi Meir Sover, mekish meiser behema, meiser dagan. So now we have a classic hekesh, a connection between the two meisers, meiser behema, meiser dagan. Rabbi Meir says, here's how the hekesh works. Ma meiser dagan samach legamro isuro, av meiser behema samach legamro isuro. Rabbi Meir says, when do I do meiser when it comes to the grains in the field? Immediately after the end of processing. Right? We've discussed this time and again, and we don't do the Mishnah in Zerayim, but we get to discuss it in the Gemara Bavli time and again, that the obligation to take off meiser dagan is after the Gemara. Immediately after the end of the processing, now you have an obligation to take off Shemas and Maestros. So when it comes to animals, we're going to make the same argument. Meaning we all are in agreement that the flock is born in the month of Av. The animals get pregnant in Adar, deliver their babies in Av. We all in agreement. And now, according to Rabbi Meir, so when should we now do Maisa Behema? Earliest opportunity. Meaning, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Just like by Maisa Dagon, we do it at the earliest opportunity. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savra, Mekish, Maisa Behemel, Maisa Dagon. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, again, same Hekesh, different conclusion. Ma Maisa Dagon, Rosh Hashanah, Shalot Tishrei, when it comes to Dagon, grains in the field, so when's its Rosh Hashanah? Beginning of Tishrei. Beginning of Tishrei, it's Rosh Hashanah. Now, fruit in the tree, granted, Tu Bishvat. But we're just talking about grains in the field. Grains in the field? Tishrei. Av Maisa Behema, Rosh Hashanah Shalot Tishrei. So too, when it comes to Maisa Behema, its Rosh Hashanah is going to be Tishrei. So it's going to be the same Rosh Hashanah as Ma'aser Dagon, and that's what we generate from the pasuk of Aser to Aser. That the two Ma'asers, Ma'aser Dagon, Ma'aser Behema, both coincide on the first day of Tishrei. Okay, a little more classic in terms of how the Pesukim are darshan. It's a Hekesh, it's just a question of how to work the Hekesh. Ve'echa b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanim. We move on in the Mishnah. Now things will move a little faster. Not who's right. That's right. Just to, if I could sharpen your question, who do we follow? Yes. Right. we follow Maisa Behema, so we follow like Rebbe Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Tishrei. Not Rabbi Meir.
So we lose one Rosh Hashanah.
So, for our count. Again, for our count, we lose the Rosh Hashanah.
So it would be three. If it doesn't accord with the Mishnah, then that's four.
Well, the Mishnah gives us both opinions. Oh, but you're talking about the headline. You're talking about the four Rosh Hashanahs. Okay, but okay, that could be. Moving on in the Mishnah, we're now up to Rosh Hashanah Tishrei. Okay, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. Okay, that's the one that we colloquially refer to as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's going back to the Mishnah? What does it say regarding the first day of Tishrei? Rosh Hashanah Lishanim. What does that mean? I mean, okay, in other words, now that we understand that every point in the Mishnah is a halachic point, it's the first of the year for years. What does that mean? The Gemara's question. So, Bechad B'Shuv Rosh Hashanah L'Shanah, L'may Hilchasa, Amar Apapa L'Shtar. So Apapa says it's a reference to documents. Now, if this sounds like a deja vu, right, didn't we do this already? Yeah. So, of course, the answer is, sure, we did that. That was the first thing that we discussed when we on the first day of Rosh Hashanah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. When the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, we said vis-a-vis documents. So the Gemara says so too Rosh Hashanah for Tishrei. It's Rosh Hashanah for documents. Ditnan Shtarei Chovah Mukdamim Psalim VaMucharim Ksherim. Going over a point that we made a week ago, that when it comes to predated documents are disqualified, like we described on day one of the Masechta. Predated documents allows the lender to have a lien on property unlawfully, because now he has a lien on property going back to the date, and if it's a predated document, he now has the power to collect and to possess properties that he really has no right in doing so, because the lien doesn't begin on the date of the document, the lien begins on the origination of the loan. And if the document is dated earlier than the loan, so that's no good. That unlawfully gives them the right to take property. So what do we do with such a document? We tear it up. That document is disqualified. If it's a post-dated note, so again, you shouldn't do that, but it's kosher. That's acceptable.
You said it becomes a verbal.
Yeah, correct. We did say that. Rashi said that on the opening day. The note becomes disqualified. Right. You still have a chance of getting your loan back. Chance. So the Gemara says, okay, but what are we doing now? You're saying that the first of Tishrei is where is the turn of kings, but didn't we make the point that the first of Nisan is the turn of kings? So the Gemara says, okay, no problem. When we said Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings, meaning so that we date the documents properly, that's for Jewish kings. When we're now talking about Tishrei, we're talking about non-Jewish kings. So the Gemara says, okay, good. But didn't we make this point also earlier? Ela hadamer chisalo shana lamach yisrael lamach yomasa olam mitishrei maninan. Rav Chisdan masnisa asa laash miinan. So now the Gemara says, Rav Chisda, what are you doing? Is all Rav Chisda doing is just teaching us how to understand the Mishnah properly? Which in of itself is not a bad thing. But what do I need Rav Chisda for? Meaning essentially what Rav Chisda is coming to do is giving to explain the Mishnah. So, but it's really just the Mishnah. So lo, Rav Chisda cry asalash minan. So the Gemara says, no, really, you know what Rav Chisda is coming to teach us? The Psukim. What is it? What does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says Psukim? Meaning, go back in the Gemara all the way to Daf Gimel. Remember how we quoted Pasuk after Pasuk in Malachim, in Sefer Ezra, in Sefer Nehemiah. We went through all those Psukim and we learned, based on all those Psukim, how kings, Jewish kings are counted from the month of Nisan. Non-Jewish kings are counted from the month of Tishrei. Rav Chisda was coming to teach us all those Psukim. Meaning, how those psukim relate to this particular halacha. Or let's give a totally different approach. And that is the following. You know what the Mishnah means when it says that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the beginning of the new year for years? Maybe it has nothing to do with documents and kings and dating. Maybe it's a totally different point, and that's Tkufa. That's in knowing your constellation. Based on the statement made by Rabbi Zeira, based on the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, when was the world created? So there are going to be two basic approaches in the Gemara. Either the world was created on the first day of Tishrei, or the world was created on the first day of Nisan. Rabbi Elazar says that the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Zeira says, good, I subscribe to that viewpoint. Rabbi Zeira the Amora says, I subscribe to that viewpoint. Therefore, so what? Meaning, okay, again, it's an historical event. How does it affect us? It affects us in terms of knowing when the sun, the moon, and the stars all started their orbital rotations. So, in terms of the moon, that's important for us so that we know when the molad is. Right, the Gabbai on Shabbos, prior to Rosh Chodesh, announces the molad. You can open up any luach and you'll see when the molad is. How the molad is a constant number. We'll talk more about this later in our Masechta. On Daf Chaf, we'll talk about this more in depth. The molad is a constant number. And it's a constant number. 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. And then, by the way, that not everyone agrees to that, but that's fine. Right now, I could just say it simply. And the molad, therefore, constantly. That, by the way, when I say molad, everyone understand? Molad is when there's an alignment between earth, moon, and sun. Okay, and when it's a perfect alignment, what happens? We don't get to see the sun. Right, correct. But in other words, even if it's not a perfect alignment, there's going to be a point of conjunction. And at that point of conjunction, that's molad. And that occurs at a constant rate of 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. And so basically, when did all this start? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, everything started in Tishrei. Rabbi Yoshua, thank you. According to Rabbi Yoshua, it all started in Nisan.
What difference
is it? So we know when the molad is. Meaning if the molad starts in Nisan, so that means that the molad begins in Nisan, and you start counting from Nisan. So it's just going to be a different molad, as opposed to when the molad starts in Tishrei.
It's all in the alignment. Why don't we see the eclipse all the time?
Because everything's three dimensions. It's not a two-dimensional...
It's like one could be
other. Yep, correct.
What's significant about that one?
Well, the significant is just for us to know. In other words, we constantly are aware of the molad. We base Rosh Chodesh based on the molad. We base Rosh Hashanah based on the molad. Everything's based on the molad. So when's the molad?
Is that what they think the point of creation?
Well, that is the point of creation. But oddly enough, we have now a basic debate in the Gemara, which we're going to see a number of times over the course of the first perek, in terms of when the world was actually created, in Tishrei or in Nisan.
But how do you know that the creation was conjunction?
That's an assumption. That's an assumption going into this discussion.
Why do we need the witnesses then?
Okay, good. Ask me again. ask you, again. The Gemara, a lot of our Masechta is dedicated to that topic. You'll ask me again later.
Okay, let's.
Correct. Understood. Tishrei, right? When the Gemara says Tishrei, the Gemara means in the Tishrei vicinity of the year. Yeah, but your point is very well taken. Meaning it's not exactly on Tishrei, but it means in that time of the year. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar Ledin. Okay, we get to finish today's daf. Well, we don't get to finish the daf, but we'll finish today on this point. And that is that, you know what the Mishnah can mean? And it's funny because this is what we all think. Even though, as you see the Gemara, this is like the third thought of the Gemara. Right? The first thought of the Gemara is that it's Rosh Hashanah Malachim. The second thought of the Gemara is that it's Rosh Hashanah for Tkufa. The third thought of the Gemara, which is the one that we all are like trained from infancy, for those of us fortunate enough with the Jewish education, this is how we all think. Do you know what Rosh Hashanah is? Then, that's when we all get judged. On the first day of Tishrei. Now, here's the best question of the day. How do we know that? Meaning, where in the Torah does it say that we're going to get judged on the first day of Tishrei? Okay? Granted, ask anyone in the street. Ask your Jew in the street. Where does it say that? It's not clear. But the Gemara is going to learn it out. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from the end of Parshas Akev. from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Beginning of the year, we're judged for what's going to happen to the end. Meaning, on a Rosh Hashanah, now I'm going to be choosing my words carefully, on a Rosh Hashanah, so at the beginning of that Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be judged for the duration of that year. Now, simple question. The Pasuk does not tell us which date is being marked. So the Gemara's next question. So how do I know that's a reference to Tishrei? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. We said it yesterday on the Shir Shol Yom. Tika b'chodesh shofar, you blow shofar on a month, b'kesel yom chagenu, on a chag where the moon is covered. Ezuhu chag shahachodesh mitkasebo, give me a chag where I can't see the moon. There's only one. So Havi Omer is the Rosh Hashanah. Uksiv ki chok liyisrahu mishpat Elokei Yaakov. It's a chok for the Jewish people. It'll be judgment for Elokei Yaakov. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, period. In other words, good. So the Gemara learns out from here that there is a yontif in which we're going to be judged. Based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, it's a reference to Rosh Hashanah because that could be the only chag where the chodesh is miskaseh. By the way, I gave us one explanation of the Gemara. If you want to see multiple explanations of what the Gemara means when it says HaChodesh Miskasebo, so take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskal Shel HaChodesh Miskasebo. I'm sorry, I don't have enough time right now. Tosfos over there goes through, I think, four different explanations of what that means, HaChodesh Miskasebo. But I'll give right now what is the easiest explanation, in that it's the yontif where we don't see the moon, and that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the only yontif of the year where the moon is not seen. All other yontifs occur either on the 15th day of the month, where the moon is in full display, or Yom Kippur, 10th of the month, Shavuot, 6th of the month. You get to see, 6th of the month, you already see a quarter of the, sorry, 6th of the month, you already see half the moon. Okay, so the moon is seen on all other yontifs. Let's just quickly run to the two dots. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara over here, is going to quote a braisa that makes going to make the same point. When is judgment? So we're actually going to be the causatives of judgment, meaning that when we sanctify the month of Tishrei, and remember, that's within our power to do that. But once we do that, now din has begun. Now the world is being judged. Another braisa. Now we know the Jewish people are getting judged. The Torah says, Ki chok li Yisrael. How do we know that everyone in the world, all humanity, gets judged on the first day of Tishrei? Tamalamar mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. Im ke matamalamar ki chok li Yisrael, malamit shi Yisrael nechrasim tchila l'din. We go in first. We, the Jewish people, are judged first, but truth be told, all humanity is judged on the first day of Tishrei. Kidder Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, Melch v'tzibor melch nechnas tchila. You have a king, you have the congregation. And they both need to stand trial. King goes in first. Nechnas l'tchila l'din. Shenamar, mishpat avdu, mishpat avdo, u'mishpat amo. First the Eved, in this context Eved means king, and then the nation. My taima, why should that be? So Gemara is going to give two explanations. Ibai thema, lav archal, make a maka avrai. So first of all, derech eretz. Meaning, right, you have two people who need to stay, who are standing outside the courtroom. And one is the king, and the other is a commoner. So the king should go first. Just derech eretz. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two, ibai thema, mikama delefush charonav. Imagine the common folk going in front of judgment first. The common folk are not held up to the same standard as the king, are not behaving as well as the king. So imagine the judge judging. Oh my gosh, that's what you did? And the king's only going to get angrier. Kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding. Right, the Gemara is making a mashal. The same thing is true with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the humanity came into judgment in front of the king first, in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu first, so his charonaf, his anger, is going to just keep increasing, and then we have to stand in front of an angry judge. Let us go first, and then let the people follow.